Have you ever had a conversion experience? You know, one of those experiences where something you see or hear or touch or experience changes everything for you, turns everything upside down, so that everything you witness after that, everything you do after that is different. Everything changes. And it comes with it maybe a sense of certainty or importance, of value. It comes with it an inspiration for actions. I've probably had a few, but I wanted to tell you about the time that I became vegetarian. You see, I read a book called Eating Animals by Jonathan Safran Foer, and at the end of that book he says, "What you do with this knowledge is up to you. You have the choice whether you do something or not." And I realized I had the choice of continuing on my way, continuing to eat meat, or of making a change. And so I became vegetarian. And that was in 2010. A conversion experience. We think of it often just in religious terms. But doesn't it happen anytime something strikes us so powerfully, as so significant, that who we are shifts just a little? So Easter was certainly such a moment for those early followers of Jesus. And they went in with all those expectations and then came to Good Friday when everything changed. And then came to Easter when everything changed once again. And after that moment, everything shifted. There was a new sense of purpose, a new sense of hope, a new sense of meaning. And it led, as we heard in Acts, to new actions, to a new way of being a community. Now, we often think of conversion experiences as sudden things. But I don't think that's the case. I think there's lead up. You see, before I read the book Eating Animals, I'd already started eating less meat. And I was already engaged in other kinds of environmental action. That was just the turning point that shifted me from one label to another, from one perspective to another. And for the disciples of Jesus, they'd already followed him, heard his words, seen what he'd done. They're already almost there. And then that moment of Easter was that point where they shifted from where they almost were to where they became, from one label to another. And we know that there's an immediate effect with conversion experiences. In fact, sometimes it's quite annoying to be around someone who's converted to something. When my friend in undergrad realized she was an atheist, she became quite unbearable for a while, not because she was an atheist, but because this was so important to her life that she had to tell everyone else why they were wrong about not being atheist. And you see that with people who convert to Christianity, that for a while they're a little bit unbearable to be around because they've spent so long thinking about this as such an important part of their life that they go around telling everyone why they're wrong not to be Christian, or even substitute in any way of thinking, any framework for seeing the world. But it shouldn't just be about speech and thought. It should be about action as well. And so we hear about the community in Acts gathered together and changing the way they relate to each other, becoming a community with things in common, allowing their lives to be transformed by this Easter vision. And then some years later, some 70 or so years later, you get the first letter of John, where he's writing about all these things that have been seen and heard and witnessed so that these people might be convinced, might continue to be followers of Jesus, followers of the way. Now, why is that still happening 70 years later? Is it because these people have never heard this news or the stories or had this experience? Probably not. I mean, some of them might be, but some of them would have been people who'd grown up with this, these stories of Jesus, this way of seeing and being a community. No, it's the problem with conversion, the conversion experience. The problem is that after that experience, after that glow of transformation and joy and a new way of being in the world, you're left with the question, what now? What now? It's easy to be vegetarian in the first glow of eating animals. And it's harder to be vegetarian when you're in a relationship with someone who's not and thinks that it's an important part of your child's health to eat meat. And so I am eating some meat right now. It's hard to continue that thread of what you thought was important in the midst of day-to-day life, the ongoing negotiations of existing with other people, of getting along in the world, of figuring out what happens when your own circumstances change. In the 19th century, it was the golden age of the revival movement, the revival movements in North America. You see, Methodism, one of our traditions that led it to the United Church, Methodism comes with it the importance of the individual spiritual experience. You could call it a conversion experience, an experience of the spirit, experience of insight. And with that, an intentional choice to be Christian. Wasn't enough just to have that assumed. You should choose it. In fact, it's the same kind of conversation we have right now about, you know, what's the importance of faith in our lives? Is it something that just underlies everything, or is it something that we need to choose and be active and intentional about? It's not a new conversation. And so you have people who wrote about their conversion experiences, their experiences of the glory and wonder of God, whatever that looked like. And a lot of them involve, you know, going for a walk in the woods and suddenly being aware of how much more there is, as if the Spirit of God suffused everything. An overwhelming experience. And so people who had this experience would join a Christian community and take part in their daily life, and then that experience would begin to fade away. And you had people write about that feeling of disappointment, and you had other people writing about the problem of people who had had a conversion experience, spent a while being very active in the Christian community, and then just faded away, left. Other things became more important. Not just a challenge of today, although we see it with my vegetarianism, you could say, or with the Christian church as a whole over the years. I mean, we had the early Christian communities described in Acts where everything was shared in common, and then a few centuries passed, and you had Christianity aligning itself with the Roman Empire. changes in what's important and how we do it and what we're experiencing. And we see it today, probably most notably in people who try out different religions. It's not necessarily a problem to seek wisdom in different religions, to see where that offers meaning and insight. But for some people, it becomes a search for those transformational, those transcendental experiences, experienced once with Christianity, once with Buddhism, once with secular humanism, something else. That ongoing search for that first experience of transformation, of certainty, of wonder, where everything changes, where we are transformed and become something more and remember that the world is something more. Because what happens for those of us who don't go on that ongoing search for new conversion experiences, what happens is those experiences just become memories. They become old news. And maybe we get a glimpse of it on Easter Sunday with the flowers and the trumpets and the super large choir and the super large congregation, that memory of that experience of something more. And then we're left with the day-to-day work of getting along with other people, of choosing where we spend our time and energy, of seeking to be loving and kind and generous even when other people aren't, of trying to find hope and meaning when we hear more and more bad news. And we're left with the question, what now? What keeps us going when we don't have the flowers and the trumpet in front of us? Where are we going when we're not certain that the pews will be filled every Sunday? How do we find the way to stick with it, to say that it matters even when it challenges us, when it gives us a hard time, when it doesn't lift us up on eagle's wings? So, what now? Well, first, we might hold on to those memories. Practice going back to that feeling of soaring on eagle's wings, wherever that moment is for you, whether it's in the flowers or the trumpets, the hymns sung together, or the walk in the woods. And practice returning to that space when we feel like it's not real, when we're faced by something challenging. Finding in that the courage to do the hard work after, of the actions that seem to have no benefits, no rewards. Acts like coming to worship, even when your spirit isn't lifted up. Acts like doing outreach work, even when the world isn't changed. Acts like being kind, even when others are unkind to you. Those day-to-day actions of love and generosity and hope and new life. And also, we remember that those moments of conversion experiences are individual. They're personal. They're just about ourselves. And what comes afterward, if we're wise and brave enough, is not just individual and personal, not just about ourselves, but about something larger. about we, about community, about the connections with one another. And this is said in different words and in different ways. We might like some of the words and not others. Words like fellowship, connection, relationship, community, or in perhaps the most powerful religious terms, Christ's body. That image that we in our day-to-day actions, our day-to-day work together here as a community and as a church as a whole, are Christ's body together in our work, together working to serve and love the world. And in the work that we do together, we become that experience of resurrection, that experience of new life. In each way that our acts of love and courage and justice and peace, we are Christ's body alive in the world. We become signs of God's love for one another in the love that we share. We become promises that we are not alone in what we do and who we serve. And they say that over time, that conversion experience wears off, and you spend a while with the daily grind as if nothing is happening, and then over time, once again, you gain a different insight, a different understanding of that first experience of love and hope and new life. It just takes hard work to get there. So what now? Let us hold on to the love that we have experienced and work to transform our actions into ones radiant with love this day and every day.